If you are breathing and are awake, then you can't have missed the fact that the television, the newspapers have been nothing but doom and gloom. terrorist attacks. Just yesterday, the Homeland Security announced that they have 100 leads of terrorism in the U.S. every day. Every day they have to check out 100 leads. Financial collapse. Banks closing. People wondering what to do with their money, afraid that soon their dollar will be worth nothing. GM needing bailout. Just amazes me. We have the H1N1 pandemic, and the swine flu is coming. Everybody knows it. Everybody's fearful that this winter will be very hard, and I suppose it will be. But fear not, our country is making lots of serum. Oops, big batch of it failed. A lot of people aren't going to get any. Oh well, probably be me. Depletion of the ozone, and with it comes flooding, hurricanes, all sorts of natural disasters. We got Congress pushing for animal rights as if it was so important, and then they neglect the weightier things like abortion. In fact, they sign off on it. Women have the right to choose to murder their unborn child or not. Congress is pushing for save the whales, kill the babies. Same-sex marriage, hate crimes. It's been in the news a lot. The ALCU is pushing the courts at every turn to get rid of any kind of public display of Christianity. And so we wonder, what's going on? I don't know if you ever saw this movie. Most of you probably saw the remake, but years ago, Charlton Heston was in a movie called Planet of the Apes. And as he saw the madness, he grabs his hair and he, "This is a madhouse!" It's kind of like what I feel. You know, it's just a madhouse out there. What's going on? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you that you are our God and that you are in the heavens and that you love us and you bless us and you watch over us. And Father, that you know right from wrong and that you gave us your only begotten Son, that we have hope of eternal life. Father, we know that this world hates us, and God, we look forward to the time that we could be with you in heaven for all eternity. We ask you to bless this evening. Help our worship to be in a manner that is pleasing to you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Good evening. I appreciate all of you coming out this evening. I really expected there to be a lot of people absent, especially those that heard that I was preaching. But there's some good football on. Where are you? What are you doing, guys? San Diego won, though. I'm happy. Warren's happy. Anyway, this is Mitch's night off, and I wrote two sermons. I think it was two sermons to prepare for this evening. The first one went down in fiery flames as he preached the same lesson. And then last week, my next lesson, same thing. Fiery crash. So I thought I would just take a couple of older lessons and put them together, and hopefully we can make it through the evening. Anyway, the world around us has gone crazy. Because of its denial of God, God has set his hand against us, or against the world. Evolution is being taught in school, but not special creation. even when there is no empirical evidence to support either. Empirical, in Webster's dictionary, is defined as demonstrated or observed. We did not observe the creation of the universe, nor did we observe the Big Bang. So there is no empirical evidence that God exists or that evolution is the model we should follow. And I maintain that because there's no evidence left or right of that, that that's evidence in itself. God is forcing us to make a decision. God is forcing us to decide which model we might follow. Where the believers see the evidence of God in the heavens, the unbeliever only sees stars and science. The evolutionists believe that all that exists, the stars, the planets, the earth, and all its inhabitants came from nothing. The Big Bang. Brad Harab, PhD, and author of the book Convicted, which examines the evidence for Christianity. He was one of the keynote speakers at this summer's Tahoe encampment. He had a simple but very amazing, insightful thought. And he said, real briefly, any logical person would be hard-pressed to defend that nothing exists today. I don't know. To me, that was pretty astounding, I thought, you know, that even the scientists would be hard-pressed the fact that nothing exists today. They wouldn't even attempt that. but the mere fact that all of you are here tonight indicates that something does exist. If something exists today, then this means that something has always existed. Brad Harab. There are two natural laws that support this, the law of cause and effect and the law of biogeneration. The law of cause and effect recognizes that for every material effect, there must be an adequate cause that existed prior to that event. And the law of biogeneration states life must bring forth life. You cannot have life from nothing. This matters little to the unbeliever. God is dead or never existed. Evolutionists have taught kids from first grade through college that science has proven that there is no God. This is why so many kids, after they graduate from the universities, leave the church. And they get pounded all the time in the classroom, which is 5 days a week, throughout their grade school, clear up in through college, they're getting pounded by the evolutionists. And they only get relief on Sunday that, no, evolution is false, creation is the way. So it's not any wonder to me that literally thousands of kids leave the church. Our own president told the king of Saudi Arabia in Egypt when they all got together, he told the king of Saudi Arabia that America is no longer a Christian nation. Is it any wonder that the world has gone mad? If you can get rid of God, then why can't you get rid of moral law? You get rid of moral law and you eventually have chaos and anarchy. People think, well, no, we'll have socialism. We're going to have socialized medicine in this country soon. So you're going to get what they decide to give you and when they decide to give it to you. No, socialism will only stand for a time. just like it did in Russia. You know, the Russians had a great separation between those that had power and those that did not. Those that did not have same access to food, to the essentials of life, as did those that were in power. Those that were in power were very rich. If you go to China today, you will find that 88 million people are very rich in China, and that's the Communist Party. The rest of China, well, not the rest of them, but a majority of them anyway, are suffering under the hand of oppression. They can't get a break. And it amazes me when I walk down the street and see these folks who are just one step away from abject poverty. And this is what the world wants. It's a madhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, God has left the building, but he is returning with vengeance. So what is a Christian to do? Number one, we need to realize that the world has gone mad, and it does not provide you with any answers. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll read 18 through 27. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what's been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they came futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of, in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over to the lust of their heart, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, men abandoned the natural function of a woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committed indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So we got to realize that the world has gone mad. I don't know. I think it's maybe only the conservatives that recognize this. Perhaps I'm wrong. But I don't like what is coming our way. There's a slow train coming, as Bob Dylan would say. A slow train is coming. And we're not going to like it when it pulls into the dock. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be reading 18 through 25. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks ask for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and weaker, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Did I get an amen from that? Amen. Did I hear just part of you say it? Let's hear all, everybody. Ready? Amen. Now let's get a little fire in there, okay? Amen. Come on. Boy, you guys are a hard group. Amen. Okay. Let's press on. In chapter 3 of the same book, reading 18 and 19, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. So, again, number one, recognize that the world is mad. It should not be a shock to you when you see these things on the television, when you read about them in the newspaper. Second, realize that there is a God, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Probably everybody has heard the kids at a Devo or what, sing this song. I really love this song. It says, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Okay. From heaven on earth. With wisdom, power, and love, our God. I have to check, look at the kids, and they're going, yeah. Our God is awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. We got to believe that. We got to trust in that. There is a God, and he is awesome. Turn to Psalms 139. Psalms 139, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 13. I'm sorry, 14. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You know, you understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are all your works, and my soul knows it very well. Now, this is a passage that many have used to identify the fact that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And that's what I'd like to look at in this second portion, that God is alive. There is a God. In verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 139, our God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Turn with me to 1 John. And we'll be reading 3 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 3, reading verse 20. In whatever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. God knows all things. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God is all knowing. Now also, God is omnipresent. Verses 7 through 10 identify that God exists everywhere at all times. Proverbs 5:21. You know, there's been times when I've been out hunting, been up on top of a mountain alone. My partners are this way and that way. And I just recognize God's presence, that I couldn't hide from him if I wanted to. On top of a mountain, he's with me. Also, when scuba diving at 138 feet, he's there. You can't escape God. He's there. He exists everywhere at all times, verses 7 through 10. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. Now, sometimes that's a scary thought. I don't know about you, but for me, that's, you know, when I think I'm trying to get away with something, especially if I'm, you know, not exactly honest and truthful with Linda, I know that, somebody knows when I'm stretching it a little bit. Maybe she doesn't get it, but I know God does. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 21, and verse 3. 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Like I said, you can't get away from God. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent too. Verses 11 through 14 of Psalms 139. Points to God being all-powerful. Matthew 28:18, Jesus tells his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All power. Jesus has all power. And you know that he could have called 10,000 angels when he was on that cross. And when you think of that one angel that destroyed the Assyrian army, one angel destroyed 185,000 troops that had encompassed the city of Jerusalem. And they were in there knowing that it was, you know, dark days for them as well. But God is all powerful. He said, one angel. Now, Jesus could have called on 10,000 angels. Because he is creator of the universe. He is God in the flesh. Psalms 8, one of my favorite psalms. I was going to have Greg Watson read this one, but I held that one kind of in reserve. Psalms chapter 8. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor from the heaven above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Because of your adversaries, you make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, in which all that you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty, and make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The other morning, Linda and I were going to go out for a walk, and it was really early, like 5. And we got up, and it was one of those rare mornings when the stars were just magnifying, you know, the presence of God, and it was just amazing. And there was Orion and Pleiades, and so we had to go get Helen. Now, I've worked at this many, many times, and it just doesn't happen. I went in and told Helen, well, Linda did, went in and got Helen, wake up, you got to come and see this, wake up. And there's nothing. You know, so. Then pretty soon you hear the, you know, like there's a calf out in the field there or something. Come on, Helen, get up. And then she came out there, and we said, look, Orion, Pleiades, they're listed in the book of Job, maybe the oldest book in the Bible. You know, and she looked up. I'm going to bed. Oh, yes. Turn with me to Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Reading verse 4 through 8. So then, all Jews know my manner of life from my youth. Which from the beginning was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem, since they have known about me for a long time. If they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sense of our religion, and now I am standing on trial for the hope and the promise made by God our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. And from this hope, O King, I am being accused by the Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? God is all powerful. And to Paul, it's a simple thing for God to raise people from the dead. And yet, these people were astounded by the thought and thought that Paul was mad. So it's almost a complete turnaround. It's the world that's mad. Okay, so far we know that we need to realize that the world is mad, and that and that God is all powerful. He's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. Third, continue in the faith. This is what a Christian should do. Continue in the faith. That special kind of faith that you can't prove, but you know it's real. Mitch talked about that this morning. So even my throw-together lesson, he was walking all over it. You can't see air, but you know it's there. So why do the scientists have such a problem with those things that they can't see? You know, they didn't observe either that the earth was created or a result of the Big Bang. They weren't there. Where were they with their white robes, their tie, their clipboard, and their paper? You know, taking notes. You know, yes, this happened on this time. Where were they? They weren't there. God asked Job in chapter 38, have you ever commanded the morning? Have you ever walked in the recesses of the deep? Can you bind the chains of Pleiades? I've never observed God doing this, but I believe that he has. That's the faith that goes beyond empirical evidence. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Reading verse 1 through 7. For we know that the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we were in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't think there's anybody in this room that would deny that. We walk by faith. And when we hear the evolutionist, you know, I love that History Channel. You know, I'm on it all the time. And a lot of times it's about, like, the universe, how the universe was created. And I find that even wonderful. That is amazing. Until they start saying, 72 billion years ago, I have a problem with that. Again, you know, where were they when this happened? They don't know. And they almost have to be, you know, you have to have pity on these guys. They're the wise sages of our day. Here I am, you know, graduated from Burroughs High School, and I know more than they do. That's something. Of course, y'all know more than I do, so this is good. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and reading verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, reading verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, I took that out of context a little bit, but it's still true for us. Those who continue in Christ will receive the crown of life, and that you can put in the bank. Maybe your dollars that are in the bank won't be there come February. But that is in God's bank, and you can count on it. So what happens if you don't? Well, Revelation 21:8 says, but for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Can also put that in the bank. So recognize that the world is a madhouse and that there is a God and that you need to have faith in God and trust in Him who can lead you through this mess. Otherwise, you can expect the fearful expectation of the second death. Our God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. and we must continue in faith, because we cannot sit down and point to empirical evidence. We've got a lot of external evidences like archaeology and the laws of certain natural laws, the laws of thermodynamics, which support our faith, but you have never observed God doing something, and you did not observe the Big Bang. So that being the observed evidences, only God has observed that, and we have to trust in Him. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, we ask you to consider these thoughts. Know that you can come during the invitation song, and that if you're a Christian and you're just feeling like you haven't done enough, you haven't had enough faith in God, that you would like to rededicate yourself, well, you can do that. But if you want to become a Christian tonight, we're ready. If you're ready, we're ready. So, with that, would you please stand as we sing the invitation song?